We continue our study of the Day of Pentecost on the Warren County Radio Bible School today. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, where it says that they that gladly received his word were baptized. We'll get to there in just a moment. I want to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson on the Day of Pentecost that was put together by E.A. Elam for the Sundays of April the 5th, 1925. Now, Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, as it reads in the American Standard Version, "They then that received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls." All who gladly received the word of God, our terms of pardon, were baptized. Those who did not gladly receive God's word were not baptized. So today, those who believe in Jesus, trust God, and gladly receive his word, as gladly obey him in being baptized. And those who do not gladly receive his word are not baptized. It says there were added to them in that day about 3,000 souls. Now the word souls there is used for persons. They were added that day. Since there was then one church, the church of God or of Christ, they were added to that church. They were added by virtue of their obedience to God in becoming his children. There is given no form or ceremony of adding the saved to the church. Being saved or becoming God's children constitute them a part of the church, are numbered with them among those who are called out ones. This shows that the Lord adds people to his church, that only the pardoned or saved are added, and that he adds them as fast as he saves them. That which saves people adds them to their church. Sometimes it's asked if there were any places for baptizing in Jerusalem. You talk about 3,000 souls. It is the sheerest ignorance now which calls one to argue that there were no convenient places about Jerusalem for immersing so many people, or that so many could have been immersed in so short a while. There were numerous large pools about Jerusalem quite suitable for this purpose. Now we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and in breaking of bread and the prayers. These new disciples continued steadfastly in things named in this verse. They continued to learn from the apostles the will of God, and continued likewise to practice it. The fellowship was mutual joy, sympathy, and helpfulness in one another's success and triumphs, sufferings and wants, afflictions and sorrows. This embraces the contribution of money and means to relieve the distress and to help the needy. The breaking of bread refers to the Lord's Supper, and the prayers refers to the prayer in their meetings. This verse does not state the regular day or time of meeting for this purpose, but other passages do. We know from Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, they gathered together on the first day of the week to break bread. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, that it was on every first day of the week that they gathered together. In Hebrews 10:25, warns not to neglect the assembling of the saints together. Thus all Christians must continue in the worship of God. From this chapter, we learn how the Spirit influenced sinners and guided them into the remission of sins and into the church of Christ. So through the inspired apostles, in the same way, the Spirit guides sinners today. And we learn, too, how the Spirit guides all Christians in the worship of God and the work of the church. He guides them by teaching them the things of His Word, by giving them that written Word that they can read for themselves, and from hearing it from others who are teaching His Word. We read in Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 46, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all according to every man had need. And day to day, continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple, and in breaking of bread at home, they took their food with gladness and singleness of heart," verse 47, "praising God and having favor with all the people." All these wonderful things, with the additional miracles wrought by the apostles, filled the people with awe and fear of God. There were 3,000 believers added on the one day mentioned above, and this number was increased daily. Those many thousands of believers, or Christians, were together. The most of them were from distant countries and had no means of subsistence. Those who had goods and possessions sold them and distributed to the necessity of the saints and of the proceeds that was made according as every man had need. Only the needed received anything. This was a common fund out of which to supply the needy. It was not a communistic leveling up and leveling down affair or a joint stock company with the apostles as general managers. This was a manifestation of great liberality. Liberality today in the church should be equal to the necessity, even if it requires the sale of property. In verse 46, where we read that they took their fruit with gladness and singleness of heart that they shared together. This is the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. These thousands of believers, with singleness of heart and with one accord, continued steadfastly in the service of God, worshiping and teaching daily in the temple, and eating their meals at home with gladness. Christ's prayer that His disciples may be one was answered here. All churches today should be of one accord, of one mind and soul, and act with singleness of heart. From such heart and lives, continual praises to God go up. Such unity and peace and liberality will always gain favor with all the people. It is a great pity and even shame that congregations in numerous places do not have this favor today, but are rather in disfavor. The chapter 2 of the book of Acts closes with these words, "And the Lord added to them day by day those that were being saved." And as the margin says, in the American Standard Version, were being saved. This shows that the Lord adds people to His church, that only the pardoned are the saved are added, and that He adds them as fast as He saves them. That which saves people adds them to His church. They were not converted or saved and then added at some indefinite time. Neither did they join the church of their choice when the meeting was over. That brings to a conclusion the study of the day of Pentecost. I turn the page. in this little Sunday school book. And I see there's a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of April the 12th, 1925. It is the cripple at the beautiful gate. I want you to think about that title. Seeing a cripple with the legs twisted and withered, this man, a man crippled from birth, would not be a beautiful sight. And yet this pitiful man was laying there at the gate that they called beautiful. I want to read the entire chapter of Acts chapter 3. That's where this story is found. That's what E.A. Elam recommends. So let's read this, and you'll find similarities between this and the previous chapter. Here's the reading. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they had laid daily at the door of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked to receive an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, that I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they took knowledge of him, that it was he that sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as he held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this man? Why fasten ye your eyes on us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made him to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his servant Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied before the face of Pilate, when he had determined to release him. But ye denied the Holy and Righteous One, and asked for a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And by faith in his name hath his name made this man strong, ye whom ye behold and know. Yea, the faith which is through him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that in ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But these things which God foreshadowed by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so there may become seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Christ, who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom the heaven must receive, until the times of restoration of all things whereof God spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been told of old. Moses indeed said to you, a prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and them that followed after, as many have spoken, have told of these days." We'll continue in our next class.